The following audio is from White River Christian Church. More information about White River is available on the WRCC mobile app or at wrcc.org.
Yet here. It's actually 16 days away if you're counting. And we all fill this time. Maybe it's with Hallmark movies, or maybe it's with endless activity and parties or shopping or whatever it is. But we are waiting to celebrate Jesus coming. And what are we doing in this in-between period? And so December is that season of waiting. But I want to suggest today that maybe, just maybe, we are missing the most important element when it comes to waiting. As we wait for Jesus to come and celebrate how he came in a manger, are we maybe missing something? Well, today is the beginning of our Christmas series here at White River, and we're excited to celebrate Advent together as a church. And we're talking about Advent, living in between. And that is what we will be talking about these next few weeks, is this season of Advent. And maybe Advent for you, you have celebrated this since you were a little kid. And maybe for some of others in here, you don't even know what Advent is. You're not even sure. But it's our hope that this season, this year, is going to be the greatest Advent yet. That's really our hope and our prayer. And we believe that that is possible as we look with expectation to celebrate Jesus together. And so we know that we have the opportunity to look forward to this. And so Advent is very simple. Advent is very simple. The word just means coming. Advent equals coming. It means that Jesus is coming. And so in December, we celebrate that he is coming, that Christ came the first time in Bethlehem. And as we look back and we think about Mary, and we think about Joseph, and we think about all the people that were involved, we think about the Jews who were looking and waiting for a Savior, and we think about those feelings and those prophecies, we know that Christmas is about Christ. It's about Christ's coming. That's what it is. We know this. We celebrate this. And this is not new to you. Every year comes, and we don't have to wait anymore. Eventually, Christmas comes, doesn't it? Christmas always comes, and Jesus came. But this is what I want you to think about that maybe we have missed, is that Christmas isn't only about Jesus coming the first time. It's not just about celebrating a baby. It's about celebrating that Christ is still coming, that he's coming best. We can look forward to the first coming, but we're really looking forward to his second coming. We're looking forward to celebrating and thinking about King Jesus, who will come to reign and rightfully rule this world. And so some were waiting with anticipation for Jesus to come the first time, weren't they? If you think about it, there were some that were ready. There were some that were looking forward to it. Some were waiting. And the same is true. Just as some were caught off guard today, some are waiting. Some are looking forward to this second coming, and some are not. It's the same as it was the first time. And so for us, do we spend the majority of our time, if not all of our time, in this season of waiting? Are we just simply preparing for family to come over? Or are we just preparing to travel? Are we just preparing for time off from work or from school? Are we just preparing for Christmas parties? Are we preparing for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning traditions? Are we so busy that we might miss faithfully waiting for Jesus' return? See, proper biblical pictures of waiting, proper pictures of waiting for Jesus might be different than what you're thinking of when you think about waiting. Because I don't know about you, but when I think about waiting, I just think about maybe you're just sitting on the couch. You're doing absolutely nothing. Waiting, maybe that means we should be bored. I'm waiting. I'm not doing anything. I'm just waiting. But that is not what the biblical picture is of what it means to wait. It's an active thing. And what I want you to put in your mind is that picture of that little child waiting for Christmas. They are waiting, but boy, are they active. Every child is so active in their waiting. Again, I think about my son and both of my sons, and we have this Lego Advent calendar. Every, one for each day of the month of December. And boy, are we getting up every morning at 5:30, ready to open up those little doors to build a little tiny Lego figure, because they cannot wait. There is active anticipation. They can't wait. And those kids, they demonstrate the perfect Advent spirit that already, but not yet, yet allowed presence. Well, they're already there, but I'm not yet allowed to open it. That is exactly the kind of spirit that we have when we come to Advent. So how do we do this? How do we wait well? Can we do that? How do we do it? So we're going to be looking at a very familiar story, Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the story of Joseph, and we're going to be looking from his perspective, because I think he finds himself in a predicament where he is in between, where he is really forced to wait on Christ coming. And so for us, we can look at him and see this already and not yet spirit, and I think it is exactly what we can see today. So turn with me to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. And if you have a Bible, don't be afraid to use your table of contents today. If you don't know your way around the scriptures, I encourage you to use that. We're all learning here today together, and so we want you to follow along with us in the scriptures, because that is where you're going to hear from God today, is through this book. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly." So he made a decision after hearing this news. And if you think about it from Joseph's perspective, the NLT, the translation we usually use, says that he was engaged. And that's a very helpful picture for us, because they were engaged. They weren't fully married. Their marriage wasn't consummated yet. But if you look in some other translations, it uses this word betrothal, that Joseph was betrothed to Mary, which really is not exactly like our engagement. It was another step up as far as the commitment goes. And so there wasn't just a simple breakup that was here, because when Joseph gets this news, this is a crisis. This isn't just a little piece of information. This is a huge life-altering news that he got from Mary. He knows that I am betrothed. I'm engaged to Mary. And I know that she is pregnant, and I'm not involved. That is a crisis. That is a serious crisis for him. And so this betrothal that Joseph has, it involved a number of things. It meant that his and Mary's parents came to an agreement, that there was actually some financial transactions going on, and that they were in the middle of a one-year period where they were waiting to consummate their marriage. And in the view of the law, they were married for all intents and purposes, except for they were waiting for this 1 year of engagement, betrothal, to consummate the marriage. And so they had a plan to do that. Their parents, themselves, that this was the plan. And so the text tells us this. And this is altering. This is life-changing for Joseph. And it tells us so much about who he is. It says that Joseph was a good man. Some other translations say he was a righteous man. And that's not just a throwaway phrase telling us that Joseph was a nice guy, that people like Joseph, something about his personality. It's actually a very technical term for our friend Joseph. He was righteous in that he earned a reputation among the people in the community for following the law. That he followed the law, he obeyed the Old Testament, he was a righteous man, he was a good man. This was who Joseph was, which is why, ultimately, he said, you know, I'm going to do this discreetly, because he's a righteous man. He doesn't want to humiliate Mary. He wants to do it gently and behind closed doors. And so that is where Joseph finds himself when either he goes to sleep or takes a nap. And then we know what happens here. Verse 20, as he considers this, and he has a lot to consider, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived, Jesus, to fulfill a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. And this is just a beautiful story, not just because it's recounting how Jesus came into the world, but when you think about the people involved and you think about Joseph and how he goes from being in absolute crisis mode to hearing in maybe his holy nap or his holy sleep here, he hears from an angel, which is the voice of God, God's messenger to Joseph. And he acts on these words, because when I think about Joseph, don't you think, I know I would be thinking, couldn't you have told me this before I found out about Mary? I mean, what assurances could he possibly have that this is true? Why are you waiting until now to tell me? Couldn't you have told me this before? He has so many things, I'm sure, that are going on in his mind. But Joseph acts and trusts. And so when we think about waiting today, when we think about ourselves and how we're waiting, not just for the first coming of Jesus, but we're waiting for Jesus to come back. And so we're in the same boat as Joseph and Mary. That we're putting our hope in Jesus and we are waiting. I think we can see three things that the angel will tell us as he talks to Joseph that are so helpful for us as we wait today for Jesus. So what does the angel say? The angel, first of all things, he says this: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That's the first thing the angel said. Don't be afraid, because God knows Joseph has so much to be afraid of. This is, again, changing his life immediately. His fiance is pregnant. His hopes for his future are in jeopardy. Is this offspring, is his child going to be accepted in this community that knows that he was born out of wedlock? What is his future? What's his reputation? Because if he stays with Mary, that's going to ruin his reputation as well as hers. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of questions that are just turning over and over in his mind. And what I want you to see here, which I think is so interesting, is that this is never forgotten. This doesn't just go away because Jesus was born. I want to turn your attention to Mark chapter 6. This is fascinating to me, that this never went away. Mark 6:3 says this, and they're talking about Jesus as an adult. Then they scoffed. And they said, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary. He's just the son of Mary. Now, you may not think a whole lot of that, but in this culture, that would have definitely caught everyone's attention. They would have referred to everybody as the son of their father. And so this is a slight at Jesus, saying, we don't really believe all this stuff that was said about you 30 years ago. You're still just the son of Mary. And so think about Joseph. What did he need to hear? He needed to hear, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. In the midst of all of these questions, of all of the potential possibilities and really legitimate reasons to be afraid, but do not fear. And when the angel says it, and when God says it to him, and when he says it to you and I, because he says this over and over and over again in Scripture, do not fear. Take heart. Be courageous. Do not fear. It is from God, and we do not have any reason to be afraid when Jesus, when God tells us, don't fear. So I want you to think about, what are the things that are going on in your life that you're afraid of? What are the things that maybe are giving you anxiety right now? What are the things that if you're a praying person that you pray about? I think that's a good measure, temperature on what is really going on inside of you is what actually causes you to pray. Those are probably the things that you're afraid of. Those are the things that you probably need to continue to give over to God. Those are the things that are maybe preventing you from waiting well. Think about those things. Is there anything in your future, something that you can see that's coming down the road here very soon that you have all kinds of questions about? God, I don't know how you're going to provide for me in this situation, or for my family as my kids get older, or this situation, or my job looks a little questionable when I look down the line, maybe a year from now. Maybe you're thinking all kinds of thoughts when you look into the future. Joseph was thinking that too. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because those are the places where I think you're probably finding yourself waiting. You're waiting on God for so many situations. And one thought that I had this week, I've been studying this with a number of other pastors. It's been just a fun process to come up and think through this together. But we kind of thought about this question, is if you knew that Jesus was coming back a second time on Christmas this year, what would that do for your courage? What would that do for your faith? If you knew that it wasn't just, we're going to celebrate Jesus like we always do every Christmas, telling the story of Jesus in the manger, but Jesus was actually coming back, and you knew that, what would that propel you to do? That is the type of message I want you to hear today. Do not be afraid, because you can have that same confidence because he is coming back. Do not be afraid. That is what Joseph was told. Jesus is coming. Do not be afraid. And then we can hear the next thing that the angel tells Joseph, which is helpful for us. He tells Joseph, take Mary as your wife, which you know was not his plan. Joseph's plan was to divorce her quietly, to go about his own business. But the angel says, no, I need you to change your plans. You change your plans because God is the one that writes the story. And he's saying, you need to do what I have for you. And so I need you to change your plans. And it is to take Mary as your wife. Joseph planned to divorce her. He also, and maybe you haven't thought about this, he also planned to wait longer to take her as his wife. By him taking Mary as his wife immediately, that totally threw off so many things. I mean, think about if someone sent out invitations to get married for June 1st, and then all of a sudden that couple, maybe it's a family member or somebody, a friend, they go ahead and get married on New Year's Eve this year. You're going to be like, what in the world is going on? That's what Joseph did here. They didn't abide by the law. Joseph was a righteous man. He had all these plans, but wait, God, this isn't how it's supposed to go. This isn't what's supposed to happen. But the angel and God says, I need you to change your plans. I've got something more for you than what you had planned. And if you think about Joseph, he was a carpenter. Can't you? I can just see Joseph as a carpenter. He's got all these plans, right? He's drawing things and got measurements. You have to as a carpenter. I'm sure he loved his plans. But no, you don't get to keep your plans. We're going to depend on God for him and his plans. See, things were going just fine for him. Everything was fine. He was a righteous man. He was obeying the law. He was excited to marry another righteous person, Mary. They were going to do everything by the book. Nothing was wrong until God intervened. Isn't that fascinating? I think that kind of disrupts at least my view of how God works. God doesn't usually come into the picture and make things more difficult, does he? That's not what he's supposed to do. God is supposed to fix my problems. God's supposed to make everything go away. But no, God comes in and his plans have to change. That is totally different than how I typically think of how God is supposed to work. My life's not supposed to be harder when God enters the picture. But when you think about Scripture and Joseph and all of it together, that so often is the case. That God really isn't interested in making your life more comfortable. He wants you to be more like him. And he wants you to prepare for his Savior to come. That's what he's interested in. That is what he's interested in. And one way that he gets Joseph to turn his attention to that is by pointing away from this pregnancy and towards a prophecy. And so Matthew tells us, this isn't from the angel himself, but this was surely what Joseph was thinking in verse 22, that all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. And he quotes Isaiah chapter 7, and this prophecy promising that this was going to happen, that this was always God's plan. And so you need to change your plan to align with his. And so just like that, we have to take our plans, how we're celebrating Christmas, and align it to prophecy, just like Joseph. And so you may be thinking, well, what does the Bible say about Jesus coming again? I know we read these Old Testament passages that point to Mary as a virgin, and Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem, and he's going to be called a Wonderful Counselor. And those are awesome, and they give me hope and promise because they were fulfilled. But pay attention to what Scripture says about Jesus coming back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this, and you can have complete confidence that this will happen. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, the Lord himself, the Lord is Jesus. Jesus himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will raise from their graves, and then, together with them, we who are alive will remain on the earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. You're to be encouraged to know that just as confident as you are that Isaiah chapter 7 was fulfilled in Jesus, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is going to be fulfilled in Jesus. This is a day that is going to happen. It is coming, and we need to wait and be prepared for it. The Scriptures are so clear that Jesus is coming back. There are so many more that point us to that truth, that Jesus didn't just leave us here in this broken world. He came once, but didn't fix absolutely everything, but he is coming back again to lead, to rule, to rescue, to finally fix this broken world. That is the great news of Christmas, that the Messiah is still coming. So again, I think about how does my focus need to change? How does it need to change? And just for me, I think about taking an inventory of all the things that I put my attention on in this Christmas season that take my focus away from Christ, that I forget that Christmas is really about Jesus and not about all these other things that go along with it. And one way is asking God, just like Joseph, God, how would you want to change my plans this year? Is there anything, God, and we can ask him, you can pray, what would you have me do this Christmas season as I prepare for Jesus to come? I know we've got traditions. I know we've got things that we have to do. But what does he really want you to do? Is there a conversation that maybe you need to have with somebody in your family or in your life? Do you need to stop rushing around so quickly, trying to make Christmas happen? Maybe spend some time with him. Use the Advent devotional that we have. together as a church. And if you haven't started, start today. Spend time with him. Maybe we need to thank God for all of his blessings rather than maybe complaining about all the things that are going wrong. What does God really want from us? You see, Joseph does just that. He changes his plans. He changes his plans and takes Mary as his wife. He puts away fear and changes his plans. And then the third thing that the angel tells Joseph that we should do as well is to do this. Put your hope in Jesus. Put your hope in Jesus. Very specifically, very plainly, very clearly. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. That's what the angel tells Joseph. And that is what he rests about this. Joseph didn't have ultrasound, okay? He didn't even know if this was a boy or a girl. But he put it all in. He pushed all of his chips to the table and say, I'm betting on Jesus. That he's going to be the Savior. I read in Mark chapter 6, they still doubted 30 years later. Yeah, well, they have this story about Jesus. And Joseph didn't even live to see the end of the story. But he put all of his hope that Jesus truly was and is the Savior of his people from their sins. Essentially, Joseph is told, this is going to be worth it. All this is worth it. Everything that you give up for Jesus, all the plans that you change, all the fears that you release, it is worth it. It is worth it every single time. And one thing I want you to see as you look at this Advent season, I want you to see that all of this is according to God's plan. It's all unfolding as God intended it to. That it's God's plan. Just as the prophets said long ago, God set this in place, and this should inspire you to hope for Jesus to come again, because it already happened once, exactly as God planned, and he has another plan, that he is coming again. And in such a beautiful moment of fulfillment, I love verse 25 of Matthew chapter 1, where Joseph, the text says, and Joseph named him Jesus. Joseph names the baby Jesus. Just as the angel instructed him, just as God instructed him, Joseph lives it out, saying, all my hopes are in Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah of all people. And I'm putting my hope in him. Some of us maybe put too much hope, too much confidence in having the perfect Christmas every year. Or maybe we're putting hope that this Christmas is going to right past Christmas's wrongs. And we could fix some things that have gone wrong in the past. But let's make this year more about Christ than Christmas, if you would be willing to do that with me. Let's make it more about him than less about all of the other things that comes with it. Because what makes the difference is how you do your waiting. How you wait for Jesus. Do not be afraid. Change your plans if God asks you to. And then put your hope in Jesus always, consistently, constantly. Put your hope in Jesus. And as Joseph waited, I hope that is what you needed to hear. It's what I needed to hear now as we are waiting. Because it's never a passive thing. Just think about that. You can't wait passively. Even think about yourself in the grocery store. As you're waiting to check out, what do? Well, if you're like a normal person, you obviously pull out your phone, right, and check it while you're in line. So you made an active choice to check your phone. But maybe you didn't do that. Well, if you're like me, maybe you're judging the people around you, what they have in their carts, right? I'm actively doing that. Or maybe you're thinking. I'm thinking about what's going to happen later in the day or where I need to go next. I'm actively doing something. I'm waiting some way, somehow. I am waiting. I can't be passive. And as we think about Jesus coming again, you can't be passive. You are making choices. You are preparing for his second coming. But how? How are you waiting? We can't just wait for Jesus. It's an active thing. And I just want to encourage you with one more passage from James chapter 5. James 5, verse 7 says this. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient. Be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who wait patiently for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient and take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. The coming of the Lord is near. So as you think about Christmas, think about Jesus coming actually, really, here, like he did the first time. Because he is. Christmas is about Christ coming. We so often want God to make our lives easier. But in the story of Jesus' birth, when we look at Joseph's life and Mary's life, it actually made their life harder. We believe that God should always intervene when we ask him. But in Joseph's life, he interrupted his life. He ruined his perfect plans. And this story confronts us and destroys that myth that we have in our mind that that's how God works and that's the game that we play with him. It doesn't work that way. We trust him. We wait for him to come. That being comfortable is not high on God's Christmas list for you this year. I just want to read a quote from Lewis Smedes. He's a Christian author and a professor. I found this super helpful thinking about waiting. Waiting is our destiny. Waiting as creatures who cannot by themselves bring about what they hope for. We wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending that we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that feels like a not ever. Waiting is the hardest part of hope. It's an actual part of our hope is that you have to wait for it as if it is certain today because it is. Everyone is waiting. How are you waiting? How are you waiting for Jesus? The first time he came as a lamb. And when he comes again, he's going to come as a lion. The first time he came silently. But this time he's going to come with a roar. The first time he came, the world barely even noticed. The next time, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. How are you waiting? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today as men and women who are waiting. We're waiting on something. God, I pray that everyone's heart in this room would be waiting for you to work, waiting for you to work in our life, waiting for you to come back, waiting for you to work in power. God, we ask and beg of you to come. We thank you that you're a God who's not interested in our comfort, but you're interested in executing your perfect plans every time. And I pray that that gives all of us this morning comfort, that you're in control and that you're coming soon, just as you certainly came the first time, God. We love you and praise you in your son's name. Amen.